Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino. Tampok sa Cinema Rayon ngayong taon ang indie film ng Filipino-Australian na si Matthew Victor Pastor. Ang pelikulang The Neon Across the Ocean ay magtatampok sa kwento ng 17 taong gulang na dalaga na natutong mamuhay sa gitna ng isolation at takot sa panahon ng new normal. Ikinuwento ng mismong direktor at manunulat ang kanyang inspirasyon sa kwento at mga hamon sa pagbubuo ng pelikula. Once again, we have indie filmmaker Matthew Pastor in the program to tell us about his newest film. Magandang araw sa iyo, Matthew. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, I've just turned 32 years old. Feeling pretty good. I had a big night last night.
That's good. Okay. And yeah. One thing that makes you celebrate is not only your birthday, but this film, this upcoming film that is about to be featured in the Cinema Rayon in the Philippines. So this film, The Neon Across the Ocean, is about to be featured. Patikim lang para sa ating mga tagapakinig. Tell us about the film, Matthew.
Yeah, so The Neon Across the Ocean is a feature film about a young Filipino-Australian named Mandy. And it's set in the not-too-distant future, a post-pandemic world where it's a reflection of what we're currently dealing with and struggling with. And, it's a coming-of-age tale. And it's the first part in our 2020 trilogy of feature films that I've made, starting with Neon Across the Ocean, which deals with the future, Pencil to the Jugular, which takes you to the present, and our third film called Plans That They've Made. So, yeah, 2020 was a very busy year, so we decided to call these projects a collective part of the 2020 trilogy. So that's The Neon Across the Ocean.
Okay, so if you can just give us a little preview, what were the social issues tackled in the film?
Some of the themes in The Neon Across the Ocean, Wa'i Rivera does a wonderful job playing Mandy, I guess a young girl in her last year of high school and dealing with the feelings of displacement, and her mother actually had gone back to the Philippines, and she's got her parents in the middle of a divorce, and there's a theme of distance, and also she has a crush on her tutor, Serena, played by Chi Nguyen, who's fantastic in it too. Some of the themes are about that feeling and longing for the motherland, or the feeling of longing of being in love with someone but not knowing what to do, or the feeling and longing of wanting to be close to someone but can't. And I think these are all very relevant themes in a post-pandemic society, or themes that would be relevant regardless of that, but happen to also, use this current situation. And because it's set in the not-too-distant future, I think there's this element of, I guess, are we heading in that direction? Are we going to be, with all these borders? I mean, it's very, me and you, for example, used to do our interviews in person, there's a different kind of world happening. So I think those are themes in the film.
So it's very relevant and relatable to the situation at the moment, especially din sa sitwasyon ng mga Filipino who are actually stranded or, separated from their families.
It's very relevant because actually some of the people involved with The Neon Across the Ocean aren't currently in Australia anymore, and same as across the three films. So a few of the people involved.
Okay, speaking of cast, so who's involved in the film? Who are your actors?
Wa'i Rivera and Chi Nguyen and Corey Reason and Gregory Pakis. And these are all performers that are, around in the Melbourne scene in some capacity. Wa'i was in Fun Times. That was the last thing. Yeah, and that film has played very, very well around. She's a young Filipino Australian who's learning her craft. So it's quite exciting to see all these collaborators. And Akira Matsuda is the sound designer that worked on across some of the films too, and he's also Filipino. So I'm really happy with everyone involved, the collaborators.
Why is the title The Neon Across the Ocean, Matthew?
There's this quote from, I think it's Christopher Doyle, who shot Wong Kar-wai's films, and I'm a big fan of his cinematography. And it's like something like the neon is like truthful, it doesn't lie. It's something, I'm obviously probably getting this quote slightly wrong here, because I'm just off memory. But, this idea of neon, it's in the night, and the imagery that I thought of, because in the film there's, if you see the opening scenes, it's rain drenched Manila with like neon, like reflecting off the concrete, which is like literally like this neon across the ocean. But the concrete, when it's like, you know, beautifully lit and neon shining across it, it's like, you know, these spaces we inhabit, they're like a vast ocean. And in Australia, Mandy is consistently like at the seaside staring out. And I think that's how even myself, you know, as a Filipino who is culturally displaced in this diaspora, and I think the neon has something beautiful that I relate to. See those neon lights, and I think back to, like, you know, the times I am in the Philippines.
Kumbaga, the neon symbolizes home and hope for you.
Yeah, and also the darkness too, and also how truthful it is, and how beautiful everything looks in when drenched in neon.
Yeah,
I feel the film is a beautiful film, and I think because in Australia, what we do in the film is we have the vast kind of, you know, we shoot with mostly overcast skies in the neon across the ocean to make a kind of bleak future. But then whenever we cut to the Philippines, it's like saturated in color, and you can see the fog in the air and the smoke. And for me, that's the contrast needs to be there, because you can almost smell how it is there, you know. I'm longing for that.
Okay, yeah. So how is the film different, Matthew, from all the other films you've directed and written?
I think this one's a little bit more focused on the sentimental kind of tone, and it's got a bit more of like a poetic kind of lingering, and because the actual theme is distance, and because the film was made in the context of, you know, we were supposed to go to the Philippines to finish it, but then the pandemic struck, and it was like, how do I, you know, the key word of, you know, pivot this film. And instead the pivot was like more of an internal one. It's like, okay, well, this is how it feels right now, then I have to capture this isolation. And the edit was shaped around that, and the extra footage shot was around that, and all that, and the tone was like moved into that thing, into that feeling. And I think all three films that this is part of, this 2020 trilogy, have that feeling, and that's why it's different from the other films, because the other films are chaotic, they're melodramatic, they're emotional based, you know, at a time in society where everything was moving so fast, and the buildings in the CBD were going up and getting higher and higher. Now everything's come to a halt, you know.
Any particular scene that stood out?
For me, the scenes where Mandy goes into a box by the sea at Docklands that she stands in, and a lot of the scenes of her staring out at the ocean and like really just letting the scene sit. I feel those scenes are some of the scenes that I really relate to. But there's also one scene where Mandy is waiting for someone under a tree, and she waits and she waits and she waits, and then the voice is there, and you know, you turn around and then no one is there. She's still alone. So that's a reoccurring thought and feeling that I have, that loneliness.
And you mentioned the film was shot pre and post pandemic. So what were the struggles in terms of production?
So many struggles. I mean, the flights getting cancelled, like, that was heartbreaking at the time. Obviously, in context, it was very good. We didn't continue and push through and do that. But that's, you know, one of the struggles, and having to you know, find a way to keep the narrative thread going, and then like, you know, shifting the storyline, and then like re-recording voiceovers over, you know, like how we're doing this interview right now, like with a distance, and then making that part of the aesthetic, and, you know, all those bold choices, you know, when you're directing something and it's so out of your control, they're bold choices that you literally stop for a second and go, well, I have a vision and I want this to look this way and sound this way, but I'm having limitations that are out of my control. Do I stop the film completely or do I go forward? Yeah. And I think that's one of my, the skills I've built over time, that I can actually switch out and go, okay, you know what, this is how it is. I have to do this now. It has to be like this. It is what it is, like making the environment part of that world, because as a Filipino growing up in Australia, you have to do that anyway. Yeah. Every day you have to make do with what you're given in terms of some of the things that don't work out, you know, the dreams that are put on hold, the expectations of family, the relationships, everything. As a person in Australia struggling with that, that's part of my filmmaking.
You're flexible now.
Getting more every day at 32, so flexible.
Well, at 32, you've achieved a lot. We're very proud of you, the Filipino community. And one thing that we're proud as well, Matthew, is that the film is to be featured at the Cinema Rayon Film Festival. So how does it feel to be selected in this time?
It feels fantastic. The first screening of the film was at last year, the 2020, or the 44th Sao Paulo International Film Festival in Brazil. And then from there, the second screening now is the Philippines. So it feels fitting that, you know, it hasn't even been seen in Australia yet. Hopefully, it's Australian film festivals will get a chance to see this film and the audience is there. But Philippines has, you know, it's just beautiful that it's the second screening that it's going to have. You know, it's very early in its run, and I'm just proud that it's going to screen in the motherland. You know, the other thing that makes me really proud is that there'll be, you know, a genuine focus on the themes of the film, partly because we're all experiencing in some way or capacity these feelings. So I think people will find a lot to relate to.
And you continue to make films despite how hard it is. So what keeps you going, Matthew?
I think what keeps me going is I only have this much time on Earth. I have to keep doing the things that I want to do. I don't want to be not doing my passion. I spent a lot of my life, in my early life, not fulfilling those things. Mm. There were times where I spent too much time, you know, indulging in, you know, the nights out with the drinks and, you know, you know, all those things. And now I'm starting to just be like, no, I only have this much time. I've been blessed with this. Like, it's such a blessing. It's such a gift to be able to tell our stories, make art, chasing that feeling that you get when you feel that your life has that purpose and meaning.
E like, e share, and comment. Sundan SBS Filipino sa Facebook.